lesson. Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10. Do you live in fear? There are a lot of people today that live in fear. You just talk to them and they are fearful of this, they are fearful of that. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, do not fear. And as a Christian, we need to understand fear, and we need to understand what we should have fear for and what we should not have fear for. We're going to read some of this twice, but let's start down at verse 26 of Matthew chapter 10. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very heads of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So he starts off saying, do not fear. Is fear a problem with us? I believe it is. And back when we were back in Matthew chapter 6, and we looked at worry, and I said, is worry a problem? Worry is a problem because he tells us, do not worry, five times in Matthew chapter 6. Here in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells us four times, do not fear. Do not fear. Fear is a problem. Let's back up in the chapter to verse 16. Verse 16, he says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you will speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? So here in verse 16, Jesus is sending out his 12. And he starts that earlier in the chapter, talking about sending them out. And then when we get down to verse 16, he's talking about these persecutions that are coming along. So he's not, we're going to look at fear in a couple different ways. Here he's talking about the fear you're going to face from being a Christian and facing persecution. And he tells them, don't worry about it. Easier said than done, especially when we face persecution. And he tells them, look at again at verse 21. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. That's something to be fearful of. If you're going to take a stand for Christ, he's not saying you're going to lose some of your friends. You're going to lose your family. You might even be put to death from within your own family. So fear, and this is a command, do not fear. What is fear? Well, fear is a motivating factor. It can be negative. It can be positive. Some people, some of the Jews feared believing on Jesus because they were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue. It can be positive if we have the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. But we're going to look at the fear not in the reverence aspect, but this mindset of being afraid. What? It's afraid of some situation. If I'm a Christian, I'm afraid, I fear, because I'm going to face some challenges. People, you know, they say we shouldn't be meeting. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. What if they find out I'm doing that? Are they going to come in and do something? And this fear just keeps growing and growing. Basically, fear is a psychological reaction. That means something happens, and in our head, we react in a negative way. Now, that could be fear of men. We could fear what men might do to us. Deuteronomy 2:25. It could be fear of things. Isaiah 7:25. It could be fear of a situation. Jonah 1:10. And it could be fear of God, Jonah 1:12. So fear could relate to men, things, situations, and God. You think about Jacob and Esau. In Genesis chapter 32 and verse 11, Jacob prayed, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children." Fear is imaginary, but it's real. And fear can cripple us. One of the most common fears is the fear of public speaking. People think they're going to die if they do that. You take somebody and you put them up and they learn to speak, and then you have another problem. You can't get them to stop speaking. But there's fear of public speaking, fear of speaking to others, fear of speaking to strangers, asking somebody for something or something. Fear. And again, there's so much fear in the world right now. There is that fear of reverence or awe. The people were delivered from Egypt and they saw God's great power and they feared the Lord. And they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Exodus 14:31. And that is the kind of fear we want to have, where people show the proper honor and respect and reverence for God. And we stand in awe of God. We recognize who God is, that he's created us. We depend on him for every second of our life. And one day we're going to have to stand before him and give an account of what we've done here. And that should create fear in our lives. But let's start back at verse 26 and look at this section a little bit closer, because here is where he's going to use the word fear four different times. Verse 26, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." So therefore, again, that's before. You got to look at what was before, what we read from verse 16 down through 26, everything that has transpired previous to this verse. Do not fear them. Why is he saying that? That's going to be the natural tendency. You start telling somebody about Christ, they threaten you, threaten you with harm, the natural tendency is going to be fearful. And Jesus says, therefore, do not fear them. A lot of these things that we've been looking at with Christ and coming onto the scene and people reacting differently to him, they either accept him, they reject him, They say maybe later, and those still exist today. But there were a lot of questions and a lot of opposition with Christ followers, John the Baptist, the Pharisees, the scribes. They were at odds with each other because Christ was teaching something different. And if you stood with Christ, then you might face, not might face, would face the same persecution. And I can just imagine the disciples thinking, boy, I just wish that people knew and understood about this Christ. I just wish all the information would come out. I just wish they knew. And we can relate to that in our own lives. We might have been involved in a situation and everybody else doesn't know all the facts, and we just wish everybody knew all the facts. I wish we knew them right now. And you look at what's going on in politics, with things being said about things that's happened in the past, and boy, I just wish all of that could be laid out and everybody would know the truth right now. Well, the same thing is going to happen in our lives with the gospel. And the truth is going to come out, the whole truth about whatever matter, whatever has happened, transpired between individuals, between us and God, between us and somewhere else. And Jesus says, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. We should take confidence in that. We should have boldness in that, knowing that if we are following God, we don't have to worry what men think of us right now. And that's another reason we have so much fear. We worry about what men think about us instead of what God thinks about us. But everything will come out and the truth will be made known. God sees all that happens, and evil will be held accountable for all that they do and they say. Verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, speak in the light, and what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. You know, these private conversations, these private instructions, they were to be proclaimed publicly. Don't be fearful when you're teaching, preaching the gospel, something that I have told you here in this group, you tell the whole world. They need to hear it. Verse 28, do not fear those who kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. Unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, men have limited power. And in our society, what's one of the worst things that we think can happen to us? Somebody's going to kill me. Somebody is going to kill me. And there are two things I would say that most people don't like. One is pain. I'll speak for myself. One is pain, and the other is fear of the unknown. And just think, if you're a Christian and you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be threatened with harm, and you're going to experience pain and the pain of death, and that's an unknown. What are you going to do? You might be fearful. Jesus says, do not fear those that will kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. And he's making a contrast. He teaches with contrasts lots of times. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Man can only kill our body. And that sounds terrible, but you got to put it in perspective. You looked at the contrast. The worst that man can do to us is kill our body. He can torture it. It can be painful. He can kill it. But then that's the end. It's over. What can God do? God can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's eternal. the contrast. You might face persecution, suffer, die here on the earth. God can send your soul to hell for all eternity. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Man has no power. God has all power. So who should we fear? You look at it that way to put things in perspective. And again, we've looked at the government and the Christian. The only authority that the government has is what's given to them by God. But in the end, man has no authority because Christ has all authority. So that means nobody else has any. God has all power, all authority. Man has none. So we need to fear God. We spend too much time living in fear of what some man says or what they say or what they say might happen or we might do. Or you pick the subject, whether it's religion or sports or politics or anything. Too many people live in too much fear. And again, Jesus says, he uses this word fear four times in this short section of verses. When we start worrying and being feared of everything out in the world, we forget that God is the one to be feared. Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. We should fear God. You know, you think about a little campfire. You think about a house fire. You think about one of the wildfires that spreads out in California. God's a consuming fire. What's going to happen when this earth, when Christ returns? This earth is going to be burned up. God is a consuming fire. So you're saying, I'm not going to fear God, but I'm going to fear these men and what they say they might do. They can't do anything to us, really, when you put it in perspective. Hebrews 10:31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Because God has power over our soul. This body wasn't meant to last forever. It's a corruptible body. It's going to keep declining. It's going to go back to the dust that it came from. It's going to decompose. God has power over our soul. It was God who on Mount Sinai, he frightened the Israelites. Let's turn back to Exodus chapter 20. He frightened them just by his nature. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Now, all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Friends, God is the one that we should fear. Do not be afraid, for God has come that the fear of him may remain so that you may not sin. If there's any kind of fear that we want to have the fear that's going to keep us from sinning. When someone fears the wrath of God, it shapes their behavior. You think about a parent, a father. You tell your children, do this, don't do that. If they disobey, you punish them. And when they're little, they have that fear. And you can just, when they know they've done something wrong, they get that look in their eyes and they know, they think, am I going to get a spanking? Probably all of us have been there. We have the fear. Now, when our children grow up, do we want our children to obey us because they fear us or because they love us. We want our children to obey us because they love us. And that's what God wants. God wants us to obey Him, not because we fear Him, but because we love Him. We want to do what He tells us to do. You switch from the father to a husband and a wife. When a husband tells his wife, do this, don't do that, does she do it because she's afraid of what's going to happen? Is that the motivation you want your wife to have? If she doesn't do what I tell her to do, she's going to be afraid I'm going to do something to punish her. We don't want that. We want our wife to obey us because she loves us. We all understand that. It's not out of fear, it's out of love. And as the church is the bride of Christ, Christ wants us to obey Him, not because we fear Him, but because we love Him. We love Him and we want to obey Him. With thinking about God as a fire and thinking about do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Let's look at a couple other passages in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12, His winnowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That fire in hell is going to be unquenchable. It's never going to go out. It's going to be for time without end. Let's turn in Matthew to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man will send out His angels. This is something that should put fear into people. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Again, that's the destruction that we should fear, not the ramblings of some man that might threaten us because of what we believe religiously. In Matthew 25, 41, then He will say also to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, that's if you want to fear something, fear God and fear hell. Don't be fearful of the persecutions you might face when you go out and try to teach people. He goes on, verse 29 in chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? So notice this, a sparrow, not much value placed on them, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground that the Father doesn't notice. A sparrow is not really worth much, but God knows them so much that if one of these sparrows falls to the ground, He's got His eye on it. How much more, here's another contrast, how much more does He have His eye on His children? Where do we put our faith? Do we fear? So, do not fear, to say it differently, because if God watches over one of these sparrows, He is definitely going to watch over us. He's definitely going to love and care for His children. He goes on in verse 30 to further this point. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And this is a beautiful illustration showing even the most minute part of our being, how much God knows us and cares about us. And you know, you hear people joke about it's easier for God to know on some people than others. But you just stop and think about that. Think about how our hair changes. God's going to know any point, any time in our life. He's even going to know if I live 15 years, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, how many I have then right now. God knows everything. Do not fear. This is the God that we serve. Yet so many people are going to get up, go to work tomorrow, go out somewhere, and live a life of fear. And unfortunately, some Christians will do that. We need to, as Christ says, do not fear. Verse 31, therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. So do not fear. Do not fear men because of the tremendous love of the one who has so much power. So when we think about the early disciples going out, when we go out, we should not fear any of our enemies. That's something we need to understand. We should not fear them. Now we need to be wise, as he said earlier about being wise or shrewd as serpents, and being like doves, where we are pure. He's not saying be naive, but don't fear him. And something else, thinking about these persecutions that they were going to face, just like we've been studying the restoration with the Jews coming out of captivity from Babylon back to Jerusalem, again, and they faced so much opposition, and they had Haggai and Zechariah to encourage them. And what was Haggai's message? One of them was, persecution, discouragement is no excuse for not doing the work. You think of anything that comes along that's going to hinder us from doing the work, can we say, God, I've got an excuse? We can't do that. God is not going to accept it. And like we talked about this morning with Ezra, we need to prepare our heart to do the Lord's work. We need to prepare our heart so that the Lord's good hand, as it was upon him, will be upon us, because we have prepared our heart and we are not going to fear man. So we need to remember the facts of the matter will come out and the truth will be known. We should not fear physical death. It may be painful. It's going to be unknown, but we should not fear it. It's just part of the natural process for our spirit to leave this world to go into eternity. We should remember, if we are going to fear something, we should fear spiritual death. We don't want God to cast us into that outer darkness. And remember, do not fear, because if God cares about these sparrows, we are so much more valuable than them. So this week, when you see sparrows out around, let that be a reminder to you. We don't need to be afraid. We do not need to live a life of fear while we are here. We need to put the kingdom first, share the gospel with others, and remember that fear is a reaction. Now, there is one other point about fear, something we should be fearful of, and that is if we are outside of Christ. If we are outside of Christ, we should be fearful, because there is salvation in no other name. We should be fearful if we have sin in our life and the blood of Christ on our hands. We should be fearful, because that's going to keep us out of heaven. That's where we should fear the one that can kill both the body and soul in hell. And if that's the case with you tonight, where you have sin in your life, I hope the reaction that you're facing is fear. And I hope that you'll be motivated to change that and not to have blood on your hands, but to be washed in his blood so that you can be cleansed, you can be forgiven of your sins, and then you'll serve your Father, you'll serve God out of love the rest of your life. And then when the angels come, you can look forward to that because they will escort you home to God. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.